Welcome back to Brit David Podcast and the continuation of Pastor Tim's message, Why Should I Believe in the Resurrection? From Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 43. Our culture is fascinated by stories of ghosts and zombies and such. And though Hollywood uses the best of effects that makes them seem so real, the Bible gives us no indication of such a thing. While the world would have you celebrate death, God would have you celebrate life. Jesus makes it clear in this passage that he is no ghost, but the glorified Son of God resurrected from the dead. And here he gives his disciples and us reason to believe in him. Here's Pastor Tim.
Number two, his appearance makes me not wonder. It makes me not wonder. You know, now if you're wondering, You're not sure, you're on the fence, you're not convinced maybe that Jesus really is raised from the dead, then you are going to have reason to wonder. In fact, when we saw that if I really don't believe in him, then my emotions may be that of being terrified and being frightened. Well, keep going down, look at verse number 38. If you don't believe that Jesus is raised from the dead, look at your state of mind. Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled?" And he says, "And why do doubts arise in your heart?" Without an assurance that Jesus really is raised from the dead, I'm going to have doubt in my life and I'm going to invite trouble into my life. I'm going to be troubled. If there's another verse that we could go to and we say, "Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but that's just not possible to do." It's when Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You think, well, Jesus doesn't know what's going on in my life. I got plenty of reason to be troubled. Well, I mean, the world's always going to give you reason to be troubled. Satan's going to give you reason to be troubled. Your mind, yourself, your own sinfulness, all of that's going to give you reason to be troubled. But greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. His truth will prevail. And so when I come to these passages and I see with absolute certainty that Jesus is raised from the dead, then I don't have to wonder about that anymore. Notice what Jesus said to them. When he showed it, we kind of went through those three things, but when you get down to that part maybe about his skin there, in verse number 39, he said, "Look, I got flesh and bones just like you can see." But it's not just about seeing, is it? It's not just, "Look, I got skin. Look, I've got bones." What does he say? He says, "Behold my hands and my feet." In other words, he is presenting it to them. And in fact, that's what it says when you get to the next verse, in verse number 40. He showed them his hands and feet. He's presenting, "Behold my hands and my feet." Why does he show them his hands and his feet? Because they've got nail marks in them. It's where the nails were. "Look at this. Look at my hands. Look at my feet and see for sure that it is I myself." It's not somebody else. It's not my twin. It's not some mistaken identity. This is not Hollywood FX. This is me, the real me. And notice what he says. "Handle me and see." Not "Handle me and see." "Handle me and be convinced." See that way. See not with your eyes, but see with your mind. See with your heart. See that it really is me. "Handle me and see, because a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." Now, when I read that passage, I don't know about you, but one of the very first verses that comes to my mind is when Jesus is raised from the dead on that first Easter morning, and he sees Mary, and she thinks that he's the gardener, and she says, "Sir, please tell me, if you've taken him, where is he, and I'll go get him," you know? When Jesus spends that time with her and says, "Mary," and she immediately recognizes him and says, "Rabbi," and goes to grab a hold of him. And Jesus says what? "Do not touch me, because I've not yet been glorified." Listen, Why does Jesus not let Mary touch him, but he invites the disciples to touch him? Because what Mary is doing is wanting to cling to him. That's what he's really saying to her. Do not cling to me. Don't grab a hold of me as if we're going to stay in this place forever. That part's done. All of that of casting out those demons from her, the dying on the cross, the ministry, the miracle, all of that stuff, that's done, Mary. Don't cling to that. Instead, believe this truth that he really is raised from the dead. For his disciples, it's not about them clinging to him. They've had plenty of opportunity already with the reports to be able to do that if they wanted to. Instead, Jesus offers himself as proof that they may not wonder. Now, in John's gospel, John tells us about two of these meetings. That at one time, they're meeting together and Jesus, appears in the midst of them and they recognize that it's Jesus, and then they get excited and they go tell Thomas, who for whatever reason is not there, you know, hey, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And he says, I'm not going to believe him unless I can see his hands and see his feet and see his side, and I can stick my fingers in there and make sure that it's for real. In this case, it seems as if Luke has just kind of put those two meetings together for us, because Jesus offers that to them. Handle me and see. You remember what Thomas says? Thomas doesn't put his finger in his side. Thomas doesn't touch the hands, doesn't touch those wounds. He simply says, my Lord and my God, yielding to him because of who he is. He recognizes Jesus as the Christ. He recognizes Jesus as Messiah. He recognizes Jesus as the Son of God, not just his friend. He recognizes that he's something. That's the point that you and I are at. We hear about Jesus' resurrection. We hear about his resurrected body. We hear about the wounds in the hands and the side and the feet. We don't have to touch it. We don't have to be in that immediate presence. What's the Bible said? Blessed are you because you believe, but more blessed are those who never see, and yet they believe anyway. Well, that's us. You're blessed to believe and not wonder. Believing in Jesus' resurrection means that I don't have to wonder. I don't have to wonder who he is. I don't have to wonder about these reports of him. I don't have to wonder about his activity. I'm convinced of that. All right, told you there are three. His appearance makes me not worry. His appearance makes me not wonder. His appearance makes me not wait. Not wait. I don't have to wait now to do what he's called me to do. I don't have to be locked up in a room because I'm afraid that something's going to happen to me. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to wonder who Jesus is. So, it's on. I mean, it's on go. The very next thing that Jesus is going to do is give them this great commission and send them out. This time, not necessarily. He's not going to pair them up and say, okay, you two pair up, these 70 people, we're going to send you out. That's not what he does. He just says, listen, you got to go do this. And they're going to go. And because they go, you and I get to believe, and you and I need to go as well. It's his appetite, his eating of that food that makes me understand that he really is him. And it's convincing. Okay? Look, where did we leave off? Verse 41, let's go back to that. Notice this. While they still did not believe, all right, hold on there just a second, because we've been talking about, if you don't believe, then what's it like? If you don't believe in Christ, life is frightening. If you don't believe, life is terrifying. If you don't believe, then my mind is filled with doubts and my heart is filled with trouble. If I don't believe, then I have no hope. I don't have any hope. Why should I do anything? Why not just enjoy life and die? Look at where they are. It says now in verse number 41 that they still did not believe, but the tone has changed. Instead of using words like frightened and terrifying, instead of using words like doubt and trouble, he uses words like joy and marveled. So what does this mean? While they still did not believe for joy, they're so overcome with joy that they don't believe, that they don't trust, that they don't think that that's Jesus anymore. I think what he's saying is this. They finally recognize him and think, this is too good to be true. You know, it is so joyful for them to see Jesus in their midst and see him really alive. Those reports are real and they can see it. They've seen all of this different evidence. And they've come to a conclusion, this really is Jesus. And they say what we would say, I can't believe it. Doesn't mean that they don't believe. It means that this is incredible. The most incredible thing that could happen to them. And the heart's response then is that of joy and marveling or being in amazement. That's how we should be. Every day should be an adventure. I am on an adventure, not just for Jesus. Remember the Blues Brothers? We're on a mission from God. Well, we're on a mission from God. We're not just on a mission from God. We're on a mission with God. He is actively at work. He is actively pursuing people into a love-faith relationship with himself and calls us to do that as well, to go right along with him. It ought to be the greatest joy of our life to be able to share Christ with somebody. You know, at the Resource Center, at Hillcrest Resource Center on Wednesdays when we go, it's amazing to me, the people who come and you get to share the gospel with them. Sean led a man to Christ this week. And there at the mission, I've heard Bob say this, and I've kind of, these are the terms that I use with them, is that, you know, now that you've invited Christ to come in your heart, the Bible says that all heaven rejoices. Who's in heaven? God's in heaven. The angels are in heaven. Your departed loved ones who know Jesus, they're in heaven. And the Bible says all of them rejoice. So if they're rejoicing up there, we want to rejoice down here. And the way we rejoice at Mission Columbus is with a cowbell. Only a Mississippi State fan can appreciate that. But I give them that bell, I tell them this, you can ring this as loud and as long as you want to. But the point is so that everybody in this building hears that clanging bell and there ain't a more beautiful sound. You know, it's amazing. They grab that bell and they'll start ringing it. And then throughout that building, you begin to hear people cheer and clap and congratulate them when they come in. That ought to be every day. The Bible says in Acts that God added to his church every day people who were being saved. Every day your life ought to be filled with great commission. Every day your life ought to be filled with joy. Every day your life ought to be filled with amazement. And if that's the case, then what are you waiting for? If Jesus really is raised from the dead, you don't have any reason to wait. There's a whole world out there that's waiting. And they need to hear. There's a story that I heard from the Civil War. The battle had not gone well at all. And the Confederate soldiers had to retreat. and they found themselves at their connection point, and little by little, a few of these soldiers kind of get together, and they start wondering, well, who's missing? This person's missing, this person's missing, this person's missing. When suddenly, from out of the woods, comes one of their fellow soldiers. And he's got a whole line of Union soldiers behind him, tied, with their hands tied, one behind another like a kindergarten line, you know? And they are amazed that he's got all these. And the soldier just comes up to them and says, "The woods is full of them, boys. Go get you some." Listen, the woods is full of lost people. You just need to go get you some. Let's pray. In all likelihood, there's somebody that you can think of by name or maybe by occupation that you know, that you believe needs to be saved. Would you take a moment and pray for them? Just pray for that person. As you're praying for them, would you ask God to open an opportunity for you? I mean, maybe this is somebody that you see all the time, that you're always around. Or maybe it's somebody that you rarely see anymore. You need a divine appointment. Ask Him for it. Ask Him to open your eyes that you might see that opportunity for what it is. Ask His Spirit to begin working in that person's heart right now, and to begin working in yours. That you see what you need to see, that you may be able to say what you need to say. Don't fall into the trap of saying, "Well, I don't know what to say." The Bible says the Spirit of God will give you what you need to say in that hour, and will bring all these things to your remembrance. Father, we pray for our loved ones. We pray for our friends, our family members who need to know You. We've sat on the sidelines for so long. We know it's time to get busy. We know that there's no time like the present. Really, we know that there's no reason for us to wait. We don't doubt You at all, Jesus. We don't doubt who You are. We don't doubt what You have done. We don't doubt what You can do in our loved one's life. We simply want to be used. We want to rejoice as You rejoice. Father, I pray that You would amaze us by the opportunities that You send our way. We ask Your blessings on each one this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Maybe you want to continue that kind of prayer. You can do that in the altar. If I can pray with you, I certainly will. Sean, you want to lead us?
Pastor Tim, thanks you for joining us here today on Brit David Podcast. And he would like to invite you to check out our past messages here in our podcast library. Pastor Tim would love to connect and share with you about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how you can know that you know that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. That address is churchoffice@britdavid.org. We are located at 2801 West Brit David Road, Columbus, Georgia, 31909. Thanks again for joining us here on Brit David Podcast.